If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Mayor Wheeler, and he made a fool out of himself. Liz, he wanted to be among the people, so he went into the crowd and they knocked the hell out of him. That was the end of him. So it was pretty pathetic. But we want to go in and help the cities. We want to help Chicago. We want to help all of them. Detroit's having problems. They're a very good police chief in Detroit, but they have problems. We'll go into all of the cities, any of the cities. We're ready. We'll put in 50,000, 60,000 people that really know what they're doing.
Unless they ask for help, Mr. President, in my opinion, the only position right now should be for your office, just to protect federal assets, the courthouses, any other buildings that are nearby. That's pretty much it, because they're under siege, especially in Portland, for example. That's President Trump talking about the mayor in Portland. He got gassed along with the crowd he was sucking up to, making the feds the enemy. How are you, friends? Happy Friday. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, and for Dana, from what I refer to as her Southern Command office, where we, at the moment, we're juggling all sorts of fun stuff. This is like one of the biggest markets, worst markets, when it comes to COVID-19. We got a lot of sick people around here. We got all the floor space full for COVID-19 and all the hospitals down here, like a dozen hospitals. And now we got some tropical fun. I kid you not, man. We're looking at the Gulf of Mexico. And I'll say this, at the moment we're broadcasting this here from deep south Texas, tip of Texas, we're under a tropical storm warning. It could be, I don't know, hurricane warning. I know we'll cycle the program over hundreds of affiliates and a lot of people checking in. So, you know, Friday afternoon, we got a tropical storm warning for deep south Texas. But the Southern Command still faithful here for our commander, Dana. Hey, you want to join the conversation at any time, you're welcome to call it in, exercise your First Amendment right, protected by the Second Amendment. 844-344-3262, 844-344-DANA. Is the number to call. You can listen live online at danaradio.com. President Trump and other officials in his administration emphasizing, re-emphasizing that the role of the federal employees, and may I emphasize again, civilian federal employees, law enforcement, doing their job to protect federal assets, because the local mayor in Portland and other mayors, they're falling on the job. And the people who need to take care of business, voters, the constituency, you guys in all these cities that you guys have all these fires and riots and business people being kicked out left and right, you need to kick everybody at City Hall out. You need to kick your mayor out. You need to find some people that are willing to actually use the taxpayer dollars that they collect from you, from whatever source, sales tax money, property money, I don't know. They're taking money for you to create a police force. Well, have them use the police, please. Oh, and guess who's in the news again? Well, I talked about this yesterday a little bit. Hey, Steve-O, cut 7, the third most powerful person in our country, third in line to the presidency, flapping her gums again, not calling all these civilian federal law enforcement employees, non-military, yeah, using that stormtrooper word again. Go ahead, Steve.
It's very, very important. The use of stormtroopers under the guise of law and order is a tactic that is not appropriate to our country in any way.
You repeat a lie enough times, just repeat it over and over, Eventually, you start believing it, and low-information people across the Fruited Plains, they hear this enough times, they will adopt that message and run with it. Very sad how fickle, how fluid the understanding of politics is in this country, because, you know, for the most part, it's hard because it's boring, or it's infuriating, some of the language that you hear. I mean, I get it, a standard Joe six pack, or you guys working out there trucking for a living, or, you know, working midnight to noon every day. You got a life to live, and you got family to take care of. You know, for people who are in the public sector, and for just non-normal people like yours truly, and, you know, our friend or Commander Dana, everybody else in media, you know, this is what we consume on a day-to-day basis. And then we have to piece it together and present it to you for you to consume and hopefully make a decision. But, you know, other people, they work for a living. So we're not the norm. Just normal people in this country, they will be swayed by language like this. I have yet to hear. I'm surprised that in 24 hours, 48 hours since she said it the first time, I am disappointed yet again in Republican leadership that is next to the president, that should have his back. Miss Chairwoman for the Republicans, I know you check in because, you know, you're good friends with Dana. I'm sure somebody on the staff, Mitch McConnell, Mr. Turtle, maybe taking a little bit too slow of a time coming up to the microphone to say something. Gosh darn it. Will somebody please, and senior leadership for the GOP, call the Speaker of the House on this and tell her to stop lying to the American people? We're not surprised that she does, but this type of incendiary language does not help. These stormtroopers, as she calls them, people, may I remind you an article that did not make, I didn't see it. Did you guys see it on the cable news networks? Did you guys see it anywhere in so-called traditional media? It was a local story on Portland. You know, these so-called stormtroopers, these so-called peaceful protesters taking lasers, you know, these high little handheld, high-powered lasers that some people get in trouble, get thrown in jail for shining those lasers up at helicopters that are on final approach, or planes that are on final approach at airports. They catch you doing something like that, man, they're gonna send you to the hoosegow for quite some time. You're gonna make new friends behind bars just for pointing those lasers. These so-called peaceful protesters, some of them out there, they use these lasers and purposely pointed those lasers into the eyes, injuring at least three civilian federal law enforcement officers. You find that acceptable? Where are you? Where's the leadership? Where is the party? Look, I know that the party leadership right now is real busy shifting gears, because I think the president T-boned everybody the past 24 hours and said, oh, the whole Jacksonville, Florida thing, yeah, we're not going to Jacksonville because, well, you know, COVID-19, it's kind of messy and it's the right thing to do. It's okay. That's fine. You know, maybe, you know, at this point, it's all shoulda, woulda, coulda, and I'm talking to you as in literally, and, you know, at least at the local level and in Texas level, you know, a party official for the GOP. I saw nothing left in the Democrat Party. I've been voting GOP for the longest time. I'm one of those, like, where Reagan said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. There's nothing left for me over there. Absolutely nothing. Killing babies and all this open border. I don't believe in any of that. I believe in defending our country, our way of life. I believe in liberty. And the ones who are closest to that, kind of meandering in that general direction, well, that's GOP. So I had to learn behind the scenes how to make the political sausage, and volunteered as a chairman down here for a while. And I saw the fascinating processes involved in that. Yeah, I could say, shoulda, woulda, coulda, you should have made this decision a long time ago. Either way, the president has spoken. The president of the United States, Donald Trump, he is the leader of the Republicans. He is the party leader, and he says, we ain't going to Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, fine, Mr. President, you ain't going. So the convention will be, I don't know, it's a collection of video and Zoom and national White House broadcasts. I don't know what they're doing, but somehow the worker bees will need to put and slap together committees and agendas and put the party platform out there. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about any of that. You guys, and thank you, by the way, for the work that you do. And may I say thank you to the GOP volunteers, the chairman, the delegates, all the precinct chairs, all the people behind the scenes actually put the mechanisms, everything. And I say thank you to them, and I say thank you to the Democrats as well. The volunteer party Democrats. It's hard work. It is thankless work. And for some of these people, Democrats and Republicans, and I feel bad for those who have been in the Democrat Party and still have a love for this country and still represent traditional values. There are a very few of them. They're in the minority. They stay silent. But they still work. And there's still an election. And they work the elections. And they work the polling place. And it's hard work. It's volunteer work. There's no compensation. There's no thank you in it. But they're still there. Thank you, guys. Democrats and Republicans. I acknowledge. So the president says they're not going to Jacksonville, Florida. The convention's going to look different. And I'm looking at the news this morning, and I'm chuckling, laughing, but at the same time feeling guilty because I know how much work went into moving from, you know, Carolina down to Florida, and now something up in North Carolina, I don't know what, which officially, now just thinking about it, officially, President Trump, with his decision in the past 24 hours to pull out of Jacksonville, he has made, I think, a convention party planning. You know, you have to get several venues. You got to get the convention center. You need to go negotiate with hotels. And there's transportation. And there's catering. And deposits that will never be refunded. I'm guessing they won't be refunded unless they did the COVID-19 thing that you can cancel any time without penalty. I suspect there might be some of that there. But officially, convention party planners, worst job in the country. It's got to be the worst job in the country right now. Like, next to what? I mean, go think. Next to what? What would be, like, the absolute worst job in the country that you could get? It's got to deal with gross stuff, right? Like bodily fluids or poop or, like, oh, I know. I was crossing the channels on cable, and I kid you not, there's a show that deals with pimple popping. Like, that's like... It's freakish. It's scary. It's disgusting. It's a train wreck. I couldn't keep my eyes off of that thing. But I'd say being a party planner, convention party planners, it's got to be just slightly worse than being one of those pimple popper people or anybody shoveling poop, you know, for a living. I feel real bad for all those people after the cancellation. Hey, you're listening to The Dana Show. I got to go pay some bills. I'm Sergio in for Dana, and if you want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262, live online at danaradio.com.
If you haven't tried Superbeat Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeat Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeat Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the third for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeats.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
How do I describe Southern Command today with so much in the news? Let me see here. From Pandemic Town, USA. And, hey, Hurricaneville. Hey, we got a tropical storm on the way. This is the Dana Show from her Southern Command office, RGV, Texas, Brownsville, specifically McAllen. That's where our News Talk studio is. My name is Sergio Sanchez, And hey, a big hug and a kiss to all the family, Patriot family, all across the Fruit of Plain. Thank you for checking in via Parler. Again, I kept saying, go to Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, Parler. Thank you to Dana. I didn't know what Parler was. In fact, I asked around here, and I didn't feel as bad because some of my Millennium staff reporters, they, I don't know, no part. So Dana interviews the Parler CEO a few days ago and said, So it's a completely open forum, no red flag, no reporting, no kicking people off. In fact, I said hi to Ron Paul yesterday. I saw that he joined us. Ron Paul? He said, the Ron Paul. As I told him, welcome, Mr. President, because I know in an alternative universe, you are presently president of the Republic, and people are prosperous and free to enjoy their liberties and that alternative universe. So go to Parler, my address, which is the same thing on Twitter, or as our commander Dana says, the Twitters. It's at Sergio Talk, and we can say hi, Amazon, a hug and a kiss to everybody checking in the past 24 plus hours. Stick around. I had a conversation. You guys up in the midsection, up in Ohio, you know the name Congressman Jim Renacci. He was part of that Tea Party revolution back in 2010. Business guy, and has a new book, a GOP, The Lost Decade. And I called him up because of the multi-trillion upon trillion dollar amazing spending, you know, so-called stimulus that's taking place right now. It's like, oh, Lord Jesus, help us. I have no idea how we're going to pay this back. So I just want to toss that around. As I was thinking earlier, today, with conversation with him, and also I made friends with Jennifer Nasor. She's with a conservative women's group. And we were doing a lot of, you know, would, should, could for the campaign for President Trump, so that we can prevent the woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know what I mean? So today I was thinking, you know, I'm doing a lot of political belly lint picking today. So join us for those conversations and your comments as well later in the show. Okay, Steve-O, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
From the nation's capital. Man alive, these people, they live in a different universe. Washington, D.C., City Council, they're slashing millions of dollars from their Metropolitan Police Department. The move is going to cut $9 million from the expected police budget. Washington, D.C., the city, right? Which I think they'll be fine, because in my many travels to the nation's capital, like, There are actually more police vehicles. If you look at all the different federal agencies, there are more black SUVs that are full of security for all myriad agencies than there actually are cars, you know, for regular people driving around. American Express is reporting an 85% loss second quarter. Amex pegged the loss to setting aside $628 million to prepare for, well, you guessed it, a flood of potential defaults, people unemployed, they lost their job, they can't pay the bill. There's no way they're going to pay that credit card debt. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas. I'm Sergio, talk line 844-344-DANA.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dana Show, broadcasting from her Southern Command office. I've labeled it that way. This is the Dana Show from the RGV of Texas. We're dealing with a little tropical system, maybe a hurricane here for the weekend. And yeah, if you keep up with the news, probably one of the worst markets right now when it comes to the COVID infection, a bunch of people dying. It's really sad, really sad. It's real, people. It's real. I was just reminded that one had it here in the stacks. One of the minor stories. The whole seriousness of the COVID-19 thing. We are learning as we go. And if y'all are in the camp that says, no, it's surge, it's a pandemic, it's designed to take down Donald Trump, and say, man, that's a lot of real complicated coordination, because Chinese panic, they shut everything down, like 70 million people. Man, being here in this newsroom and looking at all the information, just again, it's not normal. I recognize that. Look, you guys have real jobs. You put food on the table with real jobs and thankless jobs. And I appreciate you guys checking in, listening to The Dana Show and listening to talk radio and making an effort to stay informed. And some of you guys are you guys are nuts. You guys, I don't know where you find the time to be so informed, but you guys do a good job. But if any of y'all is still in the camp, it's real. It's real. Now, I got refrigerator trucks here in Deep South Texas storing dead bodies. It's really sad, really sad. And you know, China shut down at the beginning. Yes, China was not forthcoming. They lied because, you know, when you withhold information, truth by omission is a lie. So they lie. They didn't tell WHO. They didn't sound the alarm early enough. And it's a mess. So all that, Lord knows if we'll get proper investigation of that anytime in the future. I don't know. I don't know. Italy shut down. 800 dead every single day. Same thing in España and Spain. 800, 900 dead daily. Boom, boom, boom. Same number. Dead. Back then when the testing was different. The French getting their teeth kicked in the UK, the whole thing. All these, it's a wave. And right now you could say shoulda, woulda, coulda. Texas opened too early. Florida opened too early. How much longer you want to stay shut down, people? Seriously. You got to learn to live with it. It's real. The thing is, you got to be smart about it. That's my perspective. And I've heard enough of Dana's personal story to understand, you know, how her lungs are scarred and compromised, all the pneumonias and all the things. So she's a germaphobe in part because of that. For me, my phobia is because of my kid. It hurts even more because my kid is a cystic fibrosis kid. So I, you know, kids do, relatively speaking, compared to adults, compared to old adults, they do relatively very, very well when it comes to COVID. They don't even know they have it. They're probably not even spreading it that well, but we're all learning as we go. Reminds me of this story. The reason I was going down that rabbit hole is because in the way some of this news copy is written for the ripping readers, just little people getting on salary base, they get a little hourly basis, they get their little salary, they rip the news, they open up their little mouths and start talking. The way this copy was written up, Fox News has been criticized for downplaying the seriousness of the coronavirus threat in late February and early March. Guys, I seem to remember plenty of audio and video from CNN, from NBC, all these so-called heritage networks. I call them the dinosaur networks. All media trying to wrestle with the seriousness of this thing. Even Dr. Fauci, who I'll be talking a lot more of later on. Stick around. You know, Dr. Fauci getting death threats. That's unacceptable. No, that's just, you just don't go there. Antifa types go there. Crazy socialist, Marxist, leftist, who do not respect individuals in life, they go there, but no. And you proclaim to believe in liberty? No, Dr. Fauci getting death threats. This could be like the Dr. Fauci show in part, because there's so much on him today. Fauci, and I want to thank my producers here in McAllen. I think it was Freddie, my producer, who brought up 50 Cent. Dr. Fauci going full 50 Cent with that first pitch at the Nationals game. You know, talking about kids going back to school, mask, no mask, all that. I'll share that with you later. But that's I'm looking at real news copy that is dispensed nationwide to all these stations and for ripping readers just to go out and just read as is without critically thinking and examining and reflecting on recent history. It's not that long ago. Everybody approached COVID-19 with an eye of suspicion. What was the most common comparison? And it still is today if you look at some of the numbers. Oh, the flu. The flu season. America, you lose about, 35, 65, 70,000 people in the flu. Yeah, in the flu season. How long is the season? That's it. Officially what? October, November, December, January, February, March, 8 months, right? We are now, as a country, what is it, like 4 months into it? And we are at, where are we right now? 130K? You guys correct me if I'm wrong, as far as deaths. Oh, Serge, but they're not all COVID-19. They're rewriting some of these death certificates. Somebody dies in a car accident or a motorcycle accident. They're all being claimed as COVID-19 victims. Okay. I will grant you, and in just talking with Texas health folks and folks who are in health authorities and constantly talking with the doctors at various hospital groups. Look, I don't want to come off the wrong way, but guys, I just want to emphasize it's real. It spreads pretty easily. There's certain people, I don't know, maybe they have blood A type. Around here, since this is Deep South Texas, this is the land of the most delicious Tex-Mex food, period. So-called Mexican food. It ain't Mexican food. Mexican food has its own flavor, and you gotta go to like the Mexico City to get like the superior, the finest cuisine of Mexican food. In Deep South Texas, we have perfected Tex-Mex food, and it's real cheesy, and there's a lot of gravy, and we like big portions, you know, American style, the same American portions that the French always criticizes about, and it's Diabetesville, USA, and it's spreading. And I have, at the moment, one person died recently who I knew in media. I had a dear friend of mine, new friend of mine, an attorney, who's recovering because of the plasma donations. And I have another friend in Border Patrol who got really sick, and I hope he's recovering, because that's the last good report that I got. And last week, we had a local Border Patrol agent who died, a gentleman probably in his, I want to say 40s, maybe 50s, Border Patrol higher up. Dead. We had some higher ups from Washington come down here for his funeral. It's real, people. I'm just saying that it's real. But please just keep your distance. Learn how to live with it. We have to. We can't shut the world down. We can't. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Something up in New York that's just crazy. I mean, they're strangling businesses, shop owners, restaurant owners, out of business up in New York. I'll share that with you in a little bit. Meantime, up in D.C., in order to address the issue of the pandemic and the lack of money and all that, they're talking about providing paychecks to the American public. 70% of what they normally get. That's part of the stimulus conversation taking place up in D.C. among Republicans. How many trillions of dollars are we looking at that might be set aside for all these businesses? I had a conversation with a Tea Party politician from Ohio, Jim Renacci. Go ahead, Steve. Can I start with your book real quick? What is The Lost Decade about?
Well, look, as a businessman, I went to Washington in 2010. Started in early 2011, won election in 2010, but it was about changing the culture in Washington.
Part of the Tea Party Revolution 2010, right?
Right. But it was a businessman going to Washington and said, we have a broken system. We're going to fix it. We're going to stop our debts and deficits.
I'm sorry for interrupting. What do you do for a living? What's your business? You say businessman. What's your business?
Well, I was in multiple businesses. I owned over 60 companies, created over 1,500 jobs, employed over 3,000 people. So I was everything from car dealerships to Harley dealerships to
attaboy.
I had a golf course. I mean, so I was in a number of business entities before going into Congress.
How many years were you up in D.C.?
I was there for 8 years.
That's pretty good. So when you left D.C. after the Tea Party Revolution, did you leave with a bad taste in your mouth? Is it hopeless? What's your opinion of changing this titanic ship of state moving in a different direction?
Well, it's interesting. The reason I left was because I said anybody that that likes Washington and stays there after 8 years is part of the problem, because you can't like Washington. It's you go there, you can't get anything done, you can't get anything accomplished. And as a businessman who accomplished many, many things over a few decades, it was difficult to see any value. So I said, it's broken. The system is so broken that we got to make sure our states are stronger. And that's the reason I came back. I actually left and said, I'm going to run for governor, because I think the answer is changing the state.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I was recruited by the president to run for Senate when the Senate candidate stepped out. That was it gave me about 9 months to run against an establishment politician, which I gave him a good run, but lost. But I still wish I would have stayed in the state race, the governor's race, because I do believe Washington is broken. We're not going to fix it. We're spending. Think about it. In 2010, we were worried about $10 trillion. Now we're at $28 trillion and growing.
Lord help us, yeah. With no end in sight, we're going to pile on top of that several more trillions in debt here pretty soon. Jim Renacci, author of the GOP's Lost Decade, businessman and man, somebody who employs people and knows how to balance the books and keep things in the black. That's the type of person we need in D.C., but I don't know if there's any hope of putting enough of those people up there. Have you been keeping up with the Trump campaign in swing states? Because that's where the messaging and the big money should be spent right now. We're just north of 90 days out of the election. We should be spending big money right now convincing people that we need to stay the course of law and order, secure the border. It's either order or chaos. It's a pretty easy message, but it needs to be on the ground in swing states. And I don't see that in polling, Dana. What do you know?
Well, exactly. And you hit the nail on the head. And I think that's why there was a change in the campaign management, because it's about the message. Look, we are seeing messages already starting in Ohio. The president decided that we got to figure out a way to get the message and a clear message out about safe towns, safe streets, safe schools, and a safe country. And we got to get a message out. They got to start getting a message out that resonates. And I think that's where the Trump campaign has failed to this point, is to get a solid message out that is a winning message. Look, people are not going to vote for Joe Biden. They're just not going to show up for Donald Trump. And that's the danger. And that's why he's got to get that clear message out.
Yes, sir. Oh, Lord help us. Can you imagine? They go for Sloppy Joe, who can barely put two sentences together. Lord help him. I don't know what his health condition is, and I don't wish anything bad on Joe Biden. But how embarrassing it would be to actually lose this, because you don't run the right campaign, just like Hillary Clinton didn't run the right campaign. I would say advantage President Trump, being a business guy and still an outsider, having only 4 years in politics, that he's unafraid, and he still thinks like a CEO and a manager, unafraid to move people around. If something's not working, okay, we need a marketing guy to run the marketing department. Whoever needs to be fired, he'll fire and hire in order to get the job done. That's an advantage that he has as a CEO-minded individual.
Oh, well, I would agree. And too often in politics, people fear that. But you got to be able to make changes when you see something not working. You got to move forward. That's what Donald Trump is good at, and he's going to have to continue to do that. This may not be his last change, because he will have to continue to make sure that he is getting a message out. And I think in the end, that's going to be the key. He has to make sure that his self-inflicted wounds are eliminated, and he gets a solid and clear message out. Very difficult in coronavirus time, because
yes,
everybody's
sir.
Talking about that.
Yes,
he's got to figure out a way to break through with a new message.
What would you recommend, if you had a chance to bend his ear, what would you tell President Trump to get the job done?
Well, it's interesting, and I've been asked that many times. What I would tell him is get back to his 2016 message. Quit letting the swamp pull you in. He is standing side by side with too many swamp individuals, which actually hurt him. And he's got to start looking around and remember how he won the election was telling people that Washington is broken. We need it to make a difference. I'm going to do that, which he was prior to coronavirus time. And he's got to get back to that message. And I think that's important. And people will believe him if he starts to make sure. I said this, the biggest fear I have for the president right now is becoming, and I put this in my book, the biggest problem with politicians is they worry about the next election, not the next generation. This president was always good about worrying about the next generation, and he has to forget about the next election and start talking about the next generation. He'll win with that message.
Hear, hear. Yeah, thank you, Jim. Former Ohio congressman, successful businessman, Jim Renacci, GOP, the Lost Decade. There's a new Fox poll on swing states. I'm going to share some of those numbers with you. Yeah, it doesn't look very good right now on these registered voter polls that they did in some swing states. I'll share that with you in just a little bit. More homeschooling, more parents moving toward homeschooling, just many of the topics. Got a lot of information to share with you, so you stick around. You want to join the conversation on The Dana Show? Number to call, 844-344-3262.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Stick around, buddy. We got a lot of great information. Going to catch you up to speed on the day's news and take your calls as well. This is The Dana Show. Yeah, I know I'm not Dana. My name is Sergio, and very proud to be filling in for our friend Dana. Hope she gets some rest today and this weekend. Something that's rolling online. Check this out. WAPO, the Washington Post, settles with Nicholas Sandman. Remember that young dude and his school kids that were defamed? He filed a defamation lawsuit against the Washington Post and that Covington Catholic High School controversy, and presto, they're done. And let's see, Nicholas, back in mid-February, one of his posts on Twitter, I filed a $250 million defamation lawsuit against the Washington Post. Today I turned 18, and WAPO settled my lawsuit. I see. And Sandman offered a not-so-subtle warning to Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey. Settled with WAPO, settled with CNN. Fight isn't over. Two down, six to go. Boom. Let's see here. And machines can learn unsupervised at the speed of light after an artificial intelligence breakthrough. People, look, unless you put a secret kill switch that the master brain computer knows about, you're going to kill us all. You know, at some point, these suckers are going to conclude that the carbon-based units are vermin, right? We're going to be done for. So researchers, they say they have achieved a breakthrough in the development of artificial intelligence. They're using light instead of electricity that has to course through cables and little nodes and boards. They're using light, and AI, it can learn on its own as a result of that light. Kill switch, people. Need a kill switch. This is The Dana Show from South Texas.
This segment of The Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
Districts may need to delay reopening for a few weeks, and that's possible. That'll be up to governors. The decision should be made based on the data and the facts on the grounds in each community, but every district should be actively making preparations to open. Again, the children obviously have a very strong immune system, maybe even as strong as yours. They seem to be able to fight it off and not have a problem.
Yeah, kids are resilient. Hey, welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, in for our friend Dana, broadcasting from what I refer to as her Southern Command office, RGV at Texas, Diabetesville, USA, Coronavirusville, USA, and Hurricaneville, USA. We got a storm headed this way right now. It's part of the news that's rolling here at the end of the week. If you want to join the conversation at any time, it is 844-344-3262, and listen live online at danaradio.com. Now, my question for you, if you have kids, would you? Like right now, it's almost time. It's the end of summer, man. Look, July is pretty much almost done. I mean, six more days, we're done with it. Six, seven more days, we're done. One more week, we're done with July. And August is here. And for many parts of the country, it's time to go back to school. And as a precious friend of mine said, she was saying, I don't understand all this complaining and caterwauling and all these people saying we're not ready. We can't bring them back safely. We shut down American schools back in spring break, mid-March. You've had all of April, May, June, July, 4 months plus to prepare a game plan to get as many butts back into the seats. And I know, and the rules related to the financing, many schools across the country, they're set up under, I can't tell you how many, but I know that seems to be the formula of choice. Little tushes in the seats equal cha-ching cash for the school. So as many, you put more butts in the seats, you get more cash for the schools. And hence, in where you have quasi-competition, like we do now in Texas, thanks to charter schools, the public charter. Charters are public schools. Here in Texas, charters are public schools. They're funded by the state of Texas through general funds. But it's the butts in the seats that lead to the funding. All that's been suspended because of COVID-19. Because back during the middle of the spring break, it seems that all the schools that the majority of the schools they shut down. The kids, at least for us here in Texas, they didn't go back to school after spring break. You've had 4 months. You have 4.5 months. You got another half month, which would equal 5 months to figure out how to get everybody to the schools. And there are ways to do it. Now, when folks ask me, what do you think, Serge? What do you think? Should we send the kids back? Should we be experimenting with our children's safety, send them back to school? I said, why don't you go overseas? Not that I'd like to, fashion our society based on what the French do, or the Italians, or the Spaniards, or the British, or the Chinese. Why don't you go back and look? Because on this planet, we have had hundreds of millions of children go back to school in their respective part of the planet in places where COVID-19 burned down several lineages and several lines of family. Lots of people died in Italy. Lots of people died in Spain, in France, in the UK, Scandinavia. The Russians lost a bunch of people. They sent their kids back to school. South Korea, and how they approached everything, they sent their kids back to school. Where are the headlines? Now, granted, if kids were dropping like flies, and this pandemic, thank God it doesn't. Oh, Lord Jesus, being the father of a precious young man, a 13-year-old, and my little baby, he's still my baby, my 8-year-old, my CF boy. There'll always be babies to me. If this pandemic affected kids, like just inverted, right? In the very small number of human beings that are negatively affected to the point of ripping up your internal organs, giving you strokes, or even killing you, a very minute, very small portion of the population negatively affected. If you were to invert it, were the instead of being the old and seasoned folks with a compromised immune system, if for some reason COVID-19 or some virus, it targeted children, specifically children, there's something in children that it goes after, and we had headlines of children dying. Of course, shut the whole system down. Kids staying home. We'd be doing nothing but homeschooling until we find a proper solution for this. But it's we now know, because as I've said earlier, we've been learning as we go from the very beginning. Lord knows how many weeks the Chinese were dealing with this thing, this Chinese virus, this Wuhan virus that were dealing with it. They decided to shut down their society, and they were pulling people out of cars, pulling people out of houses, and forcing them into medical institutions. And they shut down their society. And you saw the wave in Europe. I don't have to take you over there. But look, remember how it was. We are now there. My mark, Deep South Texas, RGV. I've told you, I got refrigerator trucks at various hospitals down here. We are storing the dead. There's no room at the funeral homes. There's no room at the morgue. That's the reality that we face here in this part of Texas. That's reality. We're dealing with it. We're coming to grips with it. But if this situation, instead of being older folks or folks who suffer from diabetes or really sick, if it was killing kids, like it's killing older people or folks who suffer from diabetes, or maybe they have blood type A or something like that, whatever the reason is that they're dying, that we will eventually, doctors and people who have a much higher pay grade than I do, will be writing all the intellectual academic journals and research papers on this, explaining and detailing what happened. If it was the kids instead of the old people and sick people, yeah, it'd be different. And I say all of this to tell you. And this coming from a parent. I told you before, my boy has cystic fibrosis. You don't know what it is. I'll explain to you in about 10, 15 seconds. CF is a genetic condition. It negatively affects the lungs, creates sticky mucus in the lungs, renders the lungs inert over a short period of time. It kills at a very young age. It does the same thing with the pancreas, and thereby whatever the person eats is not digested. The person never thrives. But thanks to the CF Foundation, they've found ways around it with enzymes and treatments and all that, and they've done God's work, amazing work. But my kid has compromised lungs. And just out of an abundance of caution, my approach to this is, if your child is somehow immune compromised, your kid's battling cancer, let's say, God forbid in your family, but you know, kids who, local cancer clinic, we had plenty of conversation with the local cancer clinic, and they're super paranoid, and they protect their babies, and rightfully so, because it's a vulnerable population. My kid is a vulnerable population. I'm not going to send my older kid to school, and I got that option thanks to a, you know, a script, a medical recommendation from doctors and CF Foundation saying, well, keep the germs, keep the viruses, keep everything away from the little one. Don't let the older one go pick it up and bring it home. Okay, fine. That's what we'll do. But see, I'm in that even smaller sliver of the population. And yes, we'll go ahead and actually it's my precious wife. She's the one. She'll have to, I don't know how she's going to do it. Juggle all the class, accounting classes she's teaching, and then homeschooling these two as well. We have to crack the whip, Professor, on these people, on these kids. I say, it's just me, looking at what has happened in Europe, what has happened in Asia, just by experience, the fact that we know who's vulnerable. I think, yes, it is time. It's a local decision, though. Like all things, it's a local decision. But I do say it's time to go to school. It's time to follow Japan's lead. It's time to follow Germany, Spain, Italy, UK, Russians, South Koreans. It's time to follow their lead. We know how to separate them. The kids can, you know, if you want to insist on the mask, okay, fine. Wash your hands. You know, the kids are the worst ones when it comes to hygiene. That's why other stuff that affects the kids, I don't know, things like strep throat. What is that? That's streptococcus type of stuff. Most of the stuff that makes kids sick is because when they go poopy, they don't wash their hands after they're done, right? That's why, especially the kindergartners, they're the worst ones. Kindergarten, first, second grade. They don't practice proper hygiene because they don't know how to properly wipe. And when they don't wash their hands right. They got to go back and play. And there it goes. One thing's like, they start touching their face, start touching each other's mouths and stuff. And there you go. You'll wind up at the night clinic with a kid because the kid has a ear, nose, throat infection because got all that nasty bacteria. And there you go, going to the pharmacy to get azithromycin. What is that? The Z-Pack, which, by the way, the Z-Pack that you and I use? They kill bacteria? Yeah, that's the CF Foundation. Big hug to all the national CF Foundation people. Yeah, that's their work. That's their non-government funded, all pretty much privately funded cystic fibrosis work that they've done through the years. So my question to you, would you send your kid right now, looking at the facts, looking at experience overseas, not that we want to copy them, but look, their kids are fine. Our kids should be fine. The ones that can go. Would you? Would you send your kids? I want to hear from you, see what you think. Now, you can check in at 844-344-3262, 844-344-DANA. You might be in the camp as some online little chat groups that, man, they have completely come unhinged. Most of them are like the teachers groups, or they claim to be teachers groups. They don't want any administrators on there. They don't want anyone saying anything other than what they are proclaiming or demanding in their little echo chamber, kicking people out who have a different point of view. If I were to try to get on there, they'd kick me out in an instant. That's what's rolling in cyberspace. It's like in California, never let, you know, based on that political idea from the left, never let a good crisis go to waste. You guys remember the LA School District Teachers Union a few days back? What were the two main demands that they were making before they agreed to go back and teach at Los Angeles, California schools, at LA schools? Number one, they demanded the theme of the day, the political flavor of the day, which is get rid of the police. They didn't want cops on campus. They didn't want school cops on campus. What in H-E double hockey sticks does that have to do with COVID-19. The other demand was, the way I'm going to say it, get rid of the competition. Or put a pause to the competition. And let me send a big hug and a kiss to the our L.A. affiliate. You guys know what I'm talking about, because they said they didn't want charter schools. The L.A. Teachers Union said, no more charter schools. Put a pause on that. Oh, and no more cops. Okay. How does that prevent a kiddo getting COVID-19? Can you draw it on the board for me, teacher? Explain it for me. 844-344-3262. You are listening to The Dana Show from what I refer to as her Southern Command here in the RGV of Texas. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Thanks for tuning in today.
What makes Patriot Mobile different? It's their exceptional customer satisfaction. It's because they listen to your needs and share the same values. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, Patriot Mobile is committed to supporting organizations fighting for religious freedom, First and Second Amendments, sanctity of life, and the needs of veterans and first responders by donating a portion of every dollar to the causes you believe in. And now, with the broadcast coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks, all Patriot Mobile plans include unlimited talk and data with high-value commitment-free plans to fit any budget. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for free activation, multi-line discounts, veteran and first responder discounts, and up to $600 in referral bonus dollars. Make the switch today to Patriot Mobile. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's 972-PATRIOT or patriotmobile.com/Dana. Patriot Mobile, mobilizing conservatives.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
One study estimates that due to school closures last spring, the average student will begin this school year roughly 35% behind in reading compared to the typical year, and more than 50% behind in math. That's a big statement. According to McKinsey and Company, learning loss will probably be greatest among low-income Black and Hispanic students. They're the ones that are hit the hardest. We don't want that happening.
Mm-mm, absolutely not. Yeah, kids need to get busy. They need to go back to school in some fashion. Full-time remote learning, which is, in essence, it's homeschooling. I've got an article around here, just a quick write-up on how homeschooling, all of a sudden, hallelujah, becoming very popular. I think that's a good thing, especially when you look at Dr. Craner Witter and the Speakeasy Society and the liberty-minded curriculum that's out there for homeschoolers. I think it's a great idea. I'm going to call Dr. Craner Witter. See, maybe he can join me next week to try to sell you and everybody in your family. And maybe this is, I don't know. Let me go back to the pulpit again. This is God and his way of calling us to save our children and our generation. Maybe this is a calling to homeschool, because in the write-up, like the homeschool curriculum, the stuff that the essence that they need to learn, 2 hours, 2-3 hours, boom. Whereas homeschooling, that they're still trying to figure out at public school, and I'm speaking from experience, it's a long, plodding trudgery. It's like a really strange application. They're still trying to figure out how to homeschool at public schools. In other words, the parents are doing the public school teacher's job. Ain't that something? And anyway, I'll talk about that just a little bit. There's other issues, not only learning, life issues that need to be exposed, maybe neglect and abuse and childcare issues. Parents got to work, got to eat. Employment issues, emotional issues, all types of stuff. Yeah, kids need to go back. Somehow we got to figure out how to get these kids back, like now, this fall. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, here we go, talking about indebting our great-grandchildren. Where are we? How many generations are we deep into this now? Great-great-great-grandchildren? No, it's the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Trillions of dollars more in debt for more stimulus being talked about. And it's the administration, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, saying they're focusing on extending unemployment insurance. They're talking about 70% of wages for people that are transitioning away from the $600 extra a week to maybe getting 70% wages to try to push people back to work. Hey, did you know that Mexico reported hundreds of new deaths, 700 new deaths, 8,400 cases, 24 hours over the past 24-hour period. Oh, you didn't hear that? Oh, that's right, because the cables, they don't pay attention to that. Mexico surpassed Italy recently, number 3 in the world in deaths. This is the Dana Show from South Texas.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Kel-Tec. Visit us at KelTecWeapons.com.
To be a bar, you had to have food available. Soups, sandwiches, etc.
Jeez.
More than just hors d'oeuvres, chicken wings. You had to have some substantive food. The lowest level of substantive food were sandwiches.
Well, how many calories do you want, Governor? That's Governor Cuomo. He knows more than business people, restaurant owners, delis, and all these places struggling to stay alive up in New York State. What is all this about? Oh, by the way, this is the Dana Show. Our friend Dana will, Lord willing, will be back. I think it's next Tuesday is the plan, unless, I don't know, we got an alien invasion outside from the Mexican border. I'm talking about like space invasion. They finally decide to come down, or, you know, something crazy like that. A commander will take the helm. Otherwise, you're stuck with me. I'm babysitting the show. And if you want to join the conversation, 844-344-3262. Governor Cuomo, who obviously knows a lot better, I've heard him referred to as Cuomo the Pious. He knows more than these businesses trying to say. What does he care? He's got a guaranteed paycheck. He's coming in at the end of the month, maybe every 15th and 30, no matter what. He's a governor anyway. See, up in New York, in order for these restaurants, delis, these eateries to make some money, what do you need to sell to get the most return? You got to sell some alcohol. That's what sells the most. A multi-billion dollar industry in adult beverages. You got to sell some alcohol. And in order, you know, not only do you need to serve outside or do takeout, but you need to actually, he says, you need to actually sell like a big plate of food to be able to sell the alcohol. In order to skirt this, and I know this because a friend of ours up in New York at Fox News HQ, Carly Shimkus, she does these regular trending news updates with us on my morning news here in South Texas. By the way, to all the other affiliates, yeah, we're the only affiliate that she talks to nationwide and does the updates on. And she told us that up in New York, these eateries, they were trying to improvise. They were selling like a handful of grapes, maybe some Parmesan cheese. What else did she say? Like small portions of food, like nuts, cheese, grapes, croutons. I remember she mentioned croutons. So we'll say a little bit of croutons, and they go, here's your alcohol purchase. Here's your adult beverage purchase, which they make a lot of money on, right? That's how they're struggling. They're desperate to stay alive. They're desperate to get a paycheck at the end of the month. And Governor Cuomo says, no, that's not enough. You can't be selling like small plates of food or small portions. You need to sell something else in order to justify the sale of alcohol. Man, I do hope. I'm afraid that too many people are moving out of New York, will move out of New York. Intelligent people will move out of New York. Well, there likely will never be hope to get rid of these tyrants, these iron-fisted tyrants, and replace them with more common sense politicians, independents, Republicans, whatever, people that go to office with common sense and try to change things up in government. I think New York, you guys probably stuck with this guy because too many people are leaving your state. Too many smart people leaving your state because they can't earn a living there anymore. Please don't come to Texas. Oh, please don't come to Texas and screw things up. Don't bring your stupid Democrat liberal ideas down here. Please stay away. Go to California. Hey, they're open in California. It's pretty out there. They got nice weather in California. They'd love to say, oh, they think like you in California. Just go make a mess of California. 844-344-3262. My name is Sergio. This is the Dana Lash Show from her Southern Command here in the RGV of Texas. Let me go to Liz is in Indiana. Liz, welcome to the Dana Show. What you want to say, Liz?
Hi, Sergio. You were asking for parents. What would you do? Sending your kids back to school.
Yes, ma'am.
And I get mine back to school. He's 13 years old. 14. He's a sophomore in high school. All he does is plays video games. He wants to see his friends. And our school district is still messing around. As of yesterday, they had two plans. You could send your school, your kid to school full-time, or you could put them online school full-time. Well, that just shut down. The governor of the state said, no, here's the plan. So the government is now trying to decide how we're going to school our kids. So now he goes to school 2 days a week in school, and then he schools at home online 3 days a week.
So you know, that makes no sense, Liz. I mean, isn't that amazing? That makes no sense, because if they can go to school 2 days out of the week, they surely can go 5 days out of the week. How about having school on Saturday? How about splitting up into two shifts? If you don't want kids touching, rubbing each other's elbows or shoulder to shoulder because the halls fill up between classes after the bell rings, I understand. It's fine. Social distancing and spacing. There's other ways to figure that out. I don't know. That really screws up the work schedule and the daycare schedule for the kids.
The poor parents that have kids that aren't self-sufficient. I'm lucky. It's my youngest one. Let's get him back to school and get him off to college soon. But if your name is A through L, you go to school on Mondays and Thursdays. The rest go to school on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Wow.
So I wrote to the school board, and I said, so if my kid sits next to somebody who has a asymptomatic COVID-19, but he only sits next to him 2 days a week, does that lessen his chances of getting COVID-19?
Yeah, do the math. Run the math on that. That's funny. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I didn't get an answer yet, so I'm not holding my breath.
Because we're learning as we go. Thank you, Liz. Appreciate your call from Indiana. Let's go to Connecticut. Dan joining us on the Dana Show. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Sergio. Can you hear me?
You're on the air, buddy. Go ahead. What you want to say?
All right. Well, first, I just want to thank you and Dana for being the voice of reason and the voice of common sense, because we need it desperately, because sometimes I wake up and feel like I don't know where I am. But, yes, I am I'm the father of three beautiful girls, and we are ready for school. They're going to kindergarten, third grade, and fifth. And we are ready, not because I want my daughters to have a babysitter, which is an argument of some, but because they are ready to learn. And those numbers that you read from Trump that were saying the deficiencies in reading and math, I absolutely see 100%, because they're at those critical ages where from March until June, I didn't see them growing educationally whatsoever. So we are ready. We sat in on the Board of Education meeting, and they had so many parameters in place. I was like, these kids are going to be better off than they ever have been as far as reducing a risk for not only COVID, but the flu and everything else.
Yeah.
And I just have to say that, you know, I work in healthcare, and I've been working with COVID patients, and, you know, you don't sign up for healthcare for that. People assume that you sign up for healthcare because you want to dive into that storm of being ready for COVID. And it's like, that's not necessarily what you sign up for. And as a teacher, I feel like, you know, you sign up to do the best that you can. And no one's asking for perfection. But right now, I think that's the concern, is people are wanting perfection before this happens. A, a vaccine, B, a treatment, C, everything else that goes along with perfection. It's not going to happen. There's risk to any way that you go. But there's also risk to crossing the street. And we're doing the very best that we can, and I feel like my kids are absolutely ready. And the teachers and the education administrators doing the best they can is enough for us. We're ready.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Here. Yeah, we got to learn to live with it, and those who can should go back. And on the education side, I've heard from a couple of superintendents who run districts down here. The staff, who have issues, they express concern. Well, fine. Then if they belong to that, I don't know, they've got a heart ailment, or they've got diabetes, or some other thing where they're the cafeteria lady, they're the school bus driver, they're the teacher, they've got issues. The school district should be working with them to make that staff more, you know, put them in line to help out with the online learning, whatever it is that they do. But the kids need to go back. They need to start learning again. And I know I'm not alone. Hearing some of y'all call in and comments from other people where your 12, 13-year-olds, they just gravitate toward that Nintendo Switch, and that's all they want to do. I got you. That's why I got a piano, and I'm forcing the boy. Okay, you want to do Nintendo Switch? Piano, 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 piano. And now my wife's doing this online, I forget the name. That's what's the name of that sucker? Anyway, it's like an online tutorial thing. Learn Espanol, learn Spanish, learn typing, you know, work on your vocabulary. They can do that. They can go online. They can be learning and also maybe get a little reward at the end, do their Nintendo Switch, right? And which, again, begs the question, how about homeschooling people? Let me tell you, the home, if you're going to be taking care of your kids at home, doing home learning, their public school, in other words, you, it seems like, now correct me if I'm wrong, you guys who are in public education, but I'm talking from experience, and my wife more experience than I, because I'm here, you know, running this little dog and pony show at the radio station, doing what I do over here, pretending it's a job, but getting paid for it, thank you, Jesus. It seems that we're, you know, the parents are doing the job of the public school teacher, right? Like, we're, it's not like a synchronous type of lecture. It's asynchronous. They could do it later in the day. And so why not homeschool? Why not look into homeschool curriculum? I'm just saying. It's worth, wherever you are in the nation, just do an online local homeschool groups and society. You might be surprised how affordable, how they help each other out. There's socializing within the kids. They have their own little clubs and sports leagues and chess teams and things. It might be a more worthwhile academic experience. And I know that the homeschool curriculum, there's a strong branch of homeschooling that is liberty-minded, liberty-based. All that stuff that I keep flapping my gums about, I keep saying, guys, you need to learn about liberty. You need to learn our common heritage as Americans, which is liberty, the acknowledgement of the individual and the individual's life and the property that the individual is able to amass with a God-given, or I don't know whether you want to call it God-given or universe-given talent in this one life that they get to live. They exercise that talent in their brain or with their hands. They amass property, and they have a life and a liberty that needs to be protected. All this, you need to learn that, source that, and teach that. Well, if you do homeschooling with this branch that is liberty-minded, the speakeasy society, Dr. Krennewitter is his name. Go look him up. You might find it very affordable and something that is a vastly superior academic experience for your children. And you meet new friends. You make lifelong family and friends with this homeschooling curriculum that seems to be catching fire. That's one of the good things that may come of this COVID shutdown. Let me see here. Nathan... Well, that's not nice, Steve. Okay, Nathan's gone. So it seems like everybody in Indiana is named Liz. It's another Liz from Indiana. How you doing, Liz? Welcome to the Dana Show.
Hi there, Sergio. I love this show, and I've tried to call so many times, and I'm finally glad I got in.
Woohoo!
So, all right. I know. Woo-hoo. I wish somebody would start talking about, and maybe this is conspiracy theory, but I don't think so, but I wish people would start talking about Fauci and what a crook he is. I have read, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I have read that he has funded the Wuhan lab. And if that's true, then this whole thing, they're playing us, Sergio. They're playing us, and they're... It just feels so corrupt and wrong.
No, I understand. And let me just put a little bit of a seasoning on that, maybe to try to change the flavor of it. Look, just be careful with what you read online. I'm just gonna say it. Just careful with what you consume online. And as you are consuming information with an eye of suspicion, when it comes to you from the Clueless News Network, from MSNBC, and the so-called heritage dinosaur media, ABC, NBC, ABC, all these people, Fox, everybody, just retain the good, reject the bad. Source it properly. Make sure that it's properly triangulated. Make sure that everything is properly sourced before you take anything that is a claim online, especially now with online media, where all sorts of claims are made. And all those things, they need to be properly sourced. And yes, there are these so-called fact checkers. Have you seen some of these fact checkers behind the scenes that are the fact-checking police on Facebook or Twitter or all these other organizations? Now more than ever, just look at it with an eye of suspicion and just take it, file it over here, and let's see if it pops up again. Because chances are, you know how they say, there's smoke, plenty of smoke, smoke, smoke. Yeah, there's fire, then there's something there. But if it's just... on the periphery, you know, just be careful with it. I do have plenty to say about Dr. Fastball Fauci. or actually, it'd be more like Foulball Fauci coming up in a little bit. And may I repeat, you know, he says he's getting death threats because a lot of people are making him the focal point of their ire because of the American economic shutdown and all that. That's not the way you do things. That's not the way liberty-minded, God-fearing people do things. No, that's just wrong. But I got more to share about Fauci here in a little bit. You want to join the conversation? It's 844-344-3262. My name is Sergio Sanchez. And speaking of online media, you do know that Twitter has competition, right? It's called Parler, P-A-R-L-E-R. Go find it. Thanks to Dana, I found out what that was. I opened up an account. And a big hug and a kiss to everybody checking in on Parler. It's at Sergio Talk. It's the same thing as on Twitter, at Sergio Talk. We'll say hello. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
It's The Dana Show.
From Dana's Southern Command office, RGV of Texas, Diabetesville, USA, Coronavirusville, USA, we're a hotspot. Yeah, in Hurricane Alley, Hurricaneville, USA. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for Dana, and looking forward to speaking with you next hour. I got a few notes here on Dr. If you know Spanish, we jokingly refer to Dr. Fauci for all his screw-ups as Dr. Fauci Wakala. And I think you could pretty much get a feeling of what and understanding what that means. And also Fox News, new polling on battleground states and conversations about that. That's coming up next hour. Got Florida Man coming up in just a little bit, in just a few seconds. I want to say send out a big hug and a kiss to my friends over at WDBO in Orlando, Florida. Joe Kelly, hope you feel better, my brother. And Kitty George Washington. I love you, Kitty. Kitty. Brother Keith Memoli. And Big Tony, yo, Tony. What's up, man? Tony's going to take us in the afternoon out in Orlando. All right, Steve, well, let's do some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I went after some, like, positive stories on Florida. You know, it's not all bad, all crazy. Check this one out. This is just a strange, weird, wild, wacky one. Mysterious deep blue hole off of Florida's coast sparking some research interest. So off the Florida coast, deep at the bottom of the ocean, massive blue holes formed thousands of years ago. Researchers now flocking to a 425-foot deep blue hole off of Florida's Gulf Coast next month in search of signs of life, among other things. It is dubbed the Green Banana. It's pretty. The pictures they have of this thing is real pretty if you want to look it up. And this is a follow-up to a fascinating story. TV news reporter in Florida having surgery to remove a cancerous tumor on Monday. You see, a viewer saw something not right. She's from WFLA-TV in Tampa. Something looked off. She said, that reminds me of something that I went through, and told the reporter, you need to get that looked at. She's going to surgery tomorrow and likely getting rid of something really bad. You are listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for Dana from South Texas.
You could always second guess yourself and say what could have been or what should have been done. At the time, when we were told that there is a serious diminution in the availability of PPEs for the people who really need them,
just say shortage,
back then,
man.
And also back then, we didn't fully realize how significant the amount of asymptomatic infection was, and importantly, the fact that people who were asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic could transmit the virus, something we know for sure occurs right now.
Yes, the famous Dr. Anthony Fauci, or as we refer to him here in South Texas, I do, Dr. Anthony Fauci Wakala. You know Spanish, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm Sergio, and this is The Dana Show from what I refer to as her Southern Command. Mi casa es su casa, Dana, and your casa as well. Welcome to The Dana Show from the RGV of Texas. We got, man, we're juggling a lot of plates today. We're like one of those traveling Chinese fascinating shows where there's like spinning plates. Like really, I have no idea how they do that. It's really cool. But we're spinning a potential hurricane. We got a really sad COVID-19 situation on the ground down here. Lots of people dying. This RJV market, Diabetesville, USA, lots of people dying. Seriously, we got like those refrigerator trucks down here. And of course, you know, everything else, schools opening, all that. So, but in the meantime, we're very happy to be with you. If you want to join the conversation at any time on The Dana Show, the number to call is 844-344-DANA. And The Dana Show runs daily, noon to 3 Eastern, 11 a. to 2 p.m. Central. And you do the math on Pacific, all that. I'll let you do that. And I tell you that because you can listen online, live, while other good stuff, other wonderful good stuff is on the air as well. But you can listen live to Dana at danaradio.com. And then Dana does the Facebook Live thing, which is good. It's from her studio. And you can see all the beauty and splendor that is Dana Lash on Facebook Live. And, of course, on the website. So danaradio.com. Okay, so Anthony Fauci. Man, this dude, there's so much on Dr. Fauci today. He could probably take up an entire hour of a talk show. I'm not going to dedicate that much time to him, but I just want to address a few things. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and everybody else on that little steering committee that is the president's White House coronavirus task force thing, how many swings and misses have these people been involved in? Yes, and let me be polite again. We're learning as we go. The Chinese, it looks like they did. And, of course, everybody else in Europe, and we're learning as we go. And now that we have firm footing on who gets really sick and all that, the kids need to go back to school. And we can do that safely. And the businesses need to open up. But remind people not to be stupid about it. See, here in Deep South Texas, let me explain something that I should have mentioned to you earlier. This market is really messed up. We got like 1.5 million people concentrated over a 4-county area, Deep South Texas, tip of Texas, and we got lots of people dying. We got refrigerator trucks. And we're telling people, screaming at the top of our lungs, stay away from each other, keep your breath close to your body, whatever mask you want, you can use, whatever, just cover your mouth, people. Stop sneezing open, stop talking openly, cover your mouth, stay away from each other, stay away from grandma, stop doing what we call here in South Texas, pachangas, big parties, stop doing big parties. I know fajitas are really good, but you can eat fajitas by yourself at your house. And it's because right after we opened up Texas during the Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people who, you know, Lord bless them, you know, they work hard for a living. They're selective in what they hear. They thought it was over. And unlike, you know, you could make the argument, and some leaders do, that up in Houston, you know, George Floyd killed by, you know, a stupid cop. And, you know, all these protests rise up. And then in Houston, where George Floyd had roots, 60,000 people, they're protesting, 60,000 people, no masks, marching shoulder to shoulder. Yeah, you can make an argument. Up in Houston, yeah, the medical center up there, even the children's hospital filling up with adults because it's the adults who get sick. Yeah, they had a situation because of the protest. You could say the same thing for San Antonio, same thing for Dallas. Major markets here in Texas. Here in Deep South Texas, we didn't have any of that. As far as protests, but what we did have, it's big family gatherings, Memorial Day weekend. Look, I know you love your family. I like to think that in the Hispanic culture, Latino, we tend to be some of our families tend to be a bit more tactile and maybe disconnected from news and information. They like you know their form of entertainment, and they thought it was over. Okay, the lockdown is done. We had a month of it in April. People need to get back to work. They need to feed their family. Everybody go get a job again, right? We had big parties, big gatherings, Memorial Day weekend, South Padre Island. By the way, if you didn't know this, this is the area of the country that is South Padre Island, Texas. You ever hear that during spring break? Yeah, that's me. That's my market, South Padre. Everybody went to the beach. And they were spraying the COVID pixie dust on each other. They didn't feel anything. Chances are they were strong and healthy, but they went to go see grandma, or they went to the nursing home, or they brought it in from out of town from Vegas because they went out of town, and it just. So we're dealing with it right now. We're having to learn how to deal with it right now. It's not because of protests, it's because of parties. And we can learn to live with it if we just hang on a little bit longer and keep businesses open and keep selling stuff and keep, you know, buying stuff, going to restaurants and all that. But just be smart of the way you conduct your business when you are in public. If you are vulnerable, keep your butt home. Get your family member, bring stuff to you. We can hang on a few more months. You know, you're susceptible to this. I have, and I'm speaking to you from experience, I have friends. One of them hoping to get out of the hospital here pretty soon. I have people in my immediate circle of influence. It is COVID-19. They have passed away from COVID-19. They're sick with COVID-19. They're waiting for plasma treatments. You know what, you know that is, right? Where if you had COVID-19, see, when I went online and I was doing Twitter, Parler, Facebook, I was telling people, if you had it, please give it. I was telling people, I'm telling you right now, thank you, Dana, for allowing me a chance to talk to our Patriot family nationwide. No matter where you are, friend, across the nation, if you had, you know you had COVID-19, please, please, please go donate some plasma. I think you can do it every 2 weeks. You're not limited to a month. Please give, donate your plasma. If you had COVID-19, please donate your plasma because through your veins, those antibodies are coursing through your veins. It could be saving the life of people battling. Like my friend, one of my newer friends, good friends, he had to wait 4 days in the hospital for a plasma donation, antibody donation. He was really, really sick. I didn't want to say anything. I was just like biting my nails, going, oh, Jesus, please protect him. Let him get through the season. Remdesivir, whatever he needs to go, until he gets that. And as soon as he got the antibodies, boom, like within 24-hour surge, I feel a whole lot better. See, that's those antibodies fight this crap that gets into the lungs. He had viral pneumonia. He was really sick. It's real, people. Please, 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 friend. Do your part. Donate plasma. Dr. Fauci has been wrong so many times. And it's because, you know, I think it is human nature. Correct me if I'm wrong, but because I know I do it. My mom did. I have my family and friends. We all seem to incorrectly place physicians, medical doctors on a pedestal. Like, you know, yes, I know that they're education is far advanced in understanding anatomy and laboratory work and studies and the scientific method. It's day-to-day, it's what they do. I understand that, but they're still human beings, and they're still subject to making mistakes. Look, to be a meteorologist, you got to be like a super mathematician, like Brainiac. That's pretty much be a meteorologist. You can go to Texas A&M University. In essence, it's a math degree, and you study some of the atmospheric sciences. That's pretty much what it is. It's a math degree. Well, no one's elevating meteorologists, putting them on a pedestal, and lighting candles around them. So, oh, you know, the great insert name of local meteorologist at the famous or the more popular TV channel in your market. Insert name there, and you know that's you know. You're making fun of the guys. You're making fun of the women that are blowing the forecast every single day. It's amazing how they keep their job. I think the same rules apply for the president's panel on coronavirus. Just stammering and learning as you go and falling on your face. Dr. Fauci lied to this country. He admitted it. Where was the shwa-ding, the dun-dun-dun-dun, da-da-da-da-da? Where was breaking news? Dr. Fauci admits that he lied to the country. He admitted that he lied. Why? Because the initial concern, it's, you know, I guess it was deemed an okay lie because, well, we were reportedly short on personal protection equipment, and we needed to reserve that for the nurses and doctors and everybody on the front line that might be seeing a wave of coronavirus in emergency rooms at Ornell, for example, in COVID floor rooms that are now full here in South Texas, Houston, Florida, Los Angeles, other places across the country that are dealing with it now. Now we're dealing with a concern back then, and we needed some. We needed the PPE for the medical, the first line responders, right? He admitted it. He lied. Who called for his resignation? Who called for his plate on a silver platter? No one. But yet, you know, Donald Trump, you know, he's the president of the United States. He's a business guy, non-politician, successful business guy, non-politician, and I say it because of the non-PC way that he approaches everything. But this bias against Donald Trump, and it is expressed in the press and in media, not just in the editorials, in just the regular decision making and news reports, and the questions that come out of the mouths of these mental midgets in the press pool. How the heck did these people get these jobs? This bias against Donald Trump. I'm not saying he's perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect man or woman. It doesn't help our country. It's malicious. It's unhealthy. It's deranged. And yet Dr. Fauci, he admits, what was it, 2 weeks back, he lied to the country because we needed the PPE. Why don't you just tell us, give it to us, give it to me straight, doc. Give me the truth. Just level with me. How many days do I have to live? Don't try to sugarcoat it. Give me the truth. Tell me that we need PPE. I think better things would have happened had Dr. Fauci said, we don't have enough PPE. Ladies and gentlemen, my fellow Americans, what we need during those, you know, COVID-19 updates that they did at the White House, what he should have said, so folks, at your local level, go to your ISDs, go independent school districts, go to your high schools, go to your colleges, go to your junior colleges, go to your medical training facilities, go to your labs, go to your house painters. Find me every single N95 mask and donate them immediately to the local medical society, to the emergency rooms. We need a World War II Herculean effort to, like, we were recycling nylon and recycling metals back then. We need to do the same thing now. We need to find every single N95 mask from every laboratory and every school and every lab as we ramp up and make more right now to meet the demand. Because, yeah, we kind of screwed up and allowed the Chinese to make all this stuff now. They got 95% of our acetaminophen, and they got the overwhelming amount of all the PPE. And guess what? They kept all the PPE for themselves. We kind of need to address that. But right now, we need you to go find everything. You know, we did that something like that here in Deep South Texas. I got a call from the medical society, and we went on air, and a whole bunch of other stations went on air, and we had local schools and clinics and painters and everybody else donate their N95 masks to the local hospitals at the very beginning of this mess. That's what he should have done. But no, he lied. You don't need a mask. No, you don't need a mask. And now the mask is, you know, it's been politicized. People rebel against it, and it shouldn't be that way. It's just a way to keep your breath close to your body so that you're not putting it out in the air, especially in a closed environment where there's air conditioning. Is that simple? Anyway, shoulda, woulda, coulda. More Fauci stuff coming up. It's 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Dana Show, live from South Texas. My name is Sergio.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Appreciate you checking in. My name is Sergio, and for our friend Dana Lash, this is The Dana Show, and yes, we can take your calls just a little bit. Just hang on. 844-344-3262, and coming up just a little bit as well, Fox News got new polling data on some swing states. Going to flesh that out just a little bit, and also have a pending conversation with Jennifer Nassour. She's with Conservative Women. We'll take a look at some of those numbers. Swing state numbers on registered voters. Yeah, doesn't look good right now in swing states, but do you believe the polls? Anyway, we'll toss that around and just a skosh, so you stick around. Okay, Steve-O, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Yeah, I know you've seen this. If you've gone on social media, Twitter, Parler. Have you gone to Parler yet? Yeah, go to Parler. Twitter, Facebook. It's a disgusting image of this young man, 20-year-old guy, putting his knee on the neck of a 2-year-old. Charges pending against a 20-year-old guy from Ohio after a picture of him appeared. He's appearing to kneel on a toddler's neck. It's all over social media. They say the photo shows Isaiah Jackson with his knee on the neck of a crying 2-year-old, a second person holding the child's hands behind the baby's back. So this 20-year-old Isaiah Jackson facing charges. Hey, any word on the other individual holding the baby's arms while the baby's crying? Heads up on sanitizers. The Food and Drug Administration expanding its recall. You need to go to the FDA website. Food and Drug Administration expanding recall of some hand sanitizers. 75 brands. An increase in hand sanitizers label. The label says ethanol alcohol, but it's actually methanol, and that's not good. It's not good for your eyesight. It's not good for your life, period. Throw that stuff away and check the FDA website. You are listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
Appreciate you checking in. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio in for our friend Dana. Hey, did you see baseball? Took a knee. Yeah. Out in, Steve, was that Dodger Stadium or was that over in San Francisco? I wasn't paying attention to which state. It's L.A., right? Thank you, Steve. Yeah, they took a knee last night. Now, the night before, a couple of players took a knee at the start of some game. And then, of course, last night it was, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was the Dodgers and the Giants, right? It was Dodgers. Anyway, everybody took a knee. And they all took a knee and they grabbed some cloth or something, like a black cloth. They were hanging on to it. And yeah, the voice of the Hollywood God, Morgan Freeman. He's got such a cool voice, man. What a gift from heaven. I love that dude's voice, Morgan Freeman. And he was narrating a social, you know, when everybody's taking a knee, all the players, every single player, I guess it was, it seemed like every single player, both one up the, one of the teams up the first baseline. The other dudes, you know, out of their dugout up the third baseline, and they're hanging on to this black cloth. And Morgan Freeman, you know, he played God in the movies. Some had some social justice, injustice message, which attempted, you know, from what I gathered, attempted to be unifying, right? We're all in this together, you know, all this, which I found, you know, it's baseball is a private business. My understanding, they did that. And then my understanding is they all got up and they stood up for the national anthem, which is okay. You know, you want to go there. You know, the Red Sox put this Black Lives Matter mural outside. You got a bunch of other teams on the mound and all that. Okay, you want to recognize, you want to go with that flow. Fine, that's your business decision. It's my business decision not to spend any money on you. And I might keep up with you just because I do love baseball. And just don't go too deep and crazy like this, like the NFL. In the NBA, but my understanding is that they took a knee, and then they stood up for the national anthem. And Morgan Freeman's words, I was taking a look at it, more unifying. Let me go back to the list that Steve gave me. You had Obama in here somewhere, which reminded me of how divisive Obama was and continues to be when it comes on the race issues. This guy peed away an opportunity to unify the nation. Cut six, Obama, Steve, go ahead.
It has to do with hiring and the fact that, you know, if you get on the phone, applying for a job, send in your resume. If your name is John, you might get called back. If your name's Jamal, you might not.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, you got to hand it to him. At least he's consistent with that divisive narrative. Always focusing on that, never... And truly emphasizing, I don't recall him emphasizing the good, the opportunities, the privilege of being an American citizen, even if your lineage is traced all the way back to slaves in this country. What a blessing it is for you to have been born in this nation and afforded, you know, you can say all it is about the quality of it, but a free public education. It's not free, it's paid for by taxpayers, but you know what I mean? Schools all over the place. The fruits and the blessings of capitalism and free market and wonderful products from tablets to $200, $300 expensive sneakers that a lot of these kids love and the little pods they stick in their ears and all this technology that they seem to have all this money for, but yet do they have employment somewhere? Because all they're doing these days seem to be protesting. What a blessing it is to be a citizen of this country. Hey, and back to Dr. Fauci. I want to share with you some polling data from Fox that came out on swing states, and then go over to a new friend, Ms. Jennifer Nassour, on the polling data. You know, did you see the pitch from Dr. Anthony Fauci at the Nationals game, Nationals and Yankees? And my producer reminded me, I want to thank Fred for reminding me, it was... He was evoking some, what's this dude's name? Curtis Jackson, right? Curtis James Jackson III. Remember when 50 Cent, remember when 50 Cent had a chance to throw the first pitch? I don't remember. He was wearing a Mets uniform. I don't know what he was aiming for. Obviously, you know, he's been spending a lot of time in the studio. 50 Cent was. He threw the ball like halfway between home plate and first base, and Dr. Fauci did the same thing yesterday. He just grabbed the ball, he lobbed it, I guess he squeezed it, and it almost hit a reporter, I guess, closer to the wall. It went somewhere between home plate and first base. It reminded me of that little thing from Bob Uecker.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve. Just a bit outside. You know, Dr. Fauci, I think that pitch, if you think about it, I think it's a perfect representation of his COVID performance. Look, no mask, mask. No mask, mask. All the data they did at the beginning. 2 million dead. 1 million. Okay, 500,000. 250,000. Okay, give me a number to work with here, man. It's like I'm trying to keep up with you. Viruses, they stay on surfaces, metal surfaces, cardboard surfaces, plastic surfaces. Oh, no, and then they come back later. Oh, and they say, not so much. It's okay. They move. Okay, so what, you know, it's, they have swung and missed so many times, and yet he still has his gig. That pitch, that errant pitch, that, I mean, he's in Washington, D.C. I mean, go figure. I was thinking, with all the federal buildings nearby, the way he was lobbing and wound up hitting something else, you probably could have hit a federal building. The way things are these days, probably been charged with like maybe a terrorist attack, with throwing a ball or trying to hit one of the federal buildings out there. Anyway, Fox News polling data on some swing states. Let's see here. Fox News poll, Biden topping President Trump in battleground states, Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania. Democrat Joe Biden leading President Trump, battleground states that I just mentioned. Voters in each of these states can request and return absentee ballots starting mid-September. And I emphasize this because I'm going to go to a conversation that I had with the leader of conservative women, one of the leaders of conservative women in our country, Jennifer Nassour. Mail-in ballots. Patriot, be careful now. Don't be poo-pooing the idea of it, because other individuals, your political enemies, who wish to defeat you in every way and get you out of state houses and local houses, and especially Washington, they may take advantage of this and defeat any conservative movement or so-called conservative movement in this country with the mail-in ballot. Be careful now. Voters in each of these states that I mentioned, Michigan, Minnesota, and Pennsylvania, where Biden is ahead of Donald Trump, each of these states, they can request and return absentee ballots starting in mid-September. Pay attention to that. Michigan, Biden has a lead. Michigan, 9 points over President Trump. 11% of voters in Michigan undecided right now. Let's see, Minnesota. What do we got here? Biden holding the advantage on key issues in Minnesota. More Minnesota voters by wide margins trust Mr. Biden to handle race relations. Obviously, they didn't pick up the little cut from him on, hey, if you don't vote Democrat, you ain't black, right? Somebody missed that. They trust Biden on coronavirus, on China, even on the economy. They're split with Donald Trump and Biden in Minnesota. Guys, I love y'all. Patriots in Minnesota, I love y'all. What's the matter with you people? Who did you send to City Hall in Minneapolis? You guys need to pay better attention to the issues and people that you elect, not only local, but to Congress. Wake up, Minnesota. Try to do your part to save the nation, please. Pennsylvania, Biden ahead, 50-39 in the Keystone State. And the president is seen as better able to handle the economy, though, in Pennsylvania. Just some of the numbers in that new Fox poll. So let me flesh out a bit more information on that poll and look at the mail-in ballot with Jennifer. Go ahead, Steve. Let me say howdy to former chairwoman for the Massachusetts Republican Party, a founder of Conservative Women for a Better Future, Jennifer Nasur. Jen, did you get a look at the latest Fox polls on battleground states, how Donald Trump is doing against Joe?
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Yes,
I did. Did get a chance to see them.
Well, what stands out to you?
Well, I think the numbers that stand out in my mind mostly are the number of undecided and the number of people who say that they would vote for a third party candidate. And so if we can look at margins of error, and you have, everyone who will prognosticate and say, oh, well, Biden's going to win because of this. 2016, we thought, Trump was goner. It was totally Hillary land, and that was it. And that's not what happened. And I think a lot of it is Trump is not the popular person to go around and say that you are in support of. So it's easier to say, I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do. That's number one. Number two, it's still 3 months until the election. 3 months in campaign time, it's like, it's like dog years, right?
Yeah.
It is a very long time, and a lot can happen. And the other thing I want to say is that if kids are not going back to school, however it is, whether it's physically or there's solid plans for virtual teaching, that is going to sway suburban parents in a very big momentum toward Trump, because the Democrats are always with the unions.
What do you think President Trump should be doing and saying right now to try to carve into that?
Yeah, it of course, on its face, it looks like trouble. So what the Trump campaign needs to do, especially in those battleground states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota, is he needs to go to and explain to the folks there that he is a leader and he's the only person who could take them through the COVID era. He's the only person who could get the economy really back on track. And he should point to the failures in the Obama administration, where during the swine flu, 60 million people ended up having it. And so he can make distinguishing factors. Joe Biden still isn't on the campaign trail. Joe Biden thinks he's just going to win because people don't like Trump. That is a losing campaign methodology.
Any concerns, Jen, that Donald Trump is in trouble?
As I say to, look, I'm a Republican in Massachusetts, right? So I always have a lot of liberals that come to me and say, he's going to lose, right? And I've been starting every conversation over the past 18 months with this. I hate to tell you. So I still think that Trump is going to win this. And I don't think we have seen the campaign actually pick up yet. And unless Biden can, infuse some life into his body and his mind,
I
think that, it's all Trump.
Maybe he starts taking testosterone treatments and starts working out, and I don't know.
I think we're past that.
Ginkgo biloba, something like that, wake him up. And we still got all those debates that are supposed to take place. On the periphery, for me, the way the election will actually be conducted in some states, places that might go just all mail in. You know what I mean? They're tinkering with the way they will do the election. Are you concerned that maybe that might play negatively? Everybody mail it in.
Right. Well, I know in Massachusetts we're doing, everyone's getting mail-in ballots, but you can also still go to the polls. And I think that people really enjoy that.
You know what I see from this, Jen? Forgive me for interrupting you. But if it is all mail-in, election night, November 3rd, Jen, we won't know
until
maybe 3-4 days later who won the election, because there will be so many states that will still be counting mail-in ballots. I know local elections people, they're just putting their hands over their face going, oh, no, they're not looking forward to all the extra work, and it's going to take a while to hand count all of that vote. I see a delay in the actual announcement.
No, I agree. I don't think a lot of the Secretary of State's offices are equipped to make this radical change so quickly, so in such a short amount of time. And it is a radical change from the way things have usually been done. And the one thing that a lot of us who have ever worked in government know, government doesn't change really quickly. they don't like to update systems really quickly. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out. I do think that Trump needs to get off of the mail-in ballots and the fraud of it, because I don't think he wants to, if there are shutdowns just timed perfectly for the election, he doesn't want to lose his base not voting because they're taking a stand. So that's the one little thing that he's got to be really careful of, is not telling people not to do it, but just calling out the potential for any fraud. But for folks who can't get to a polling location, or a polling location isn't open, he's got to let them know they have to vote, regardless of what measure they vote by, they have to vote. So I think that's really important for him. But I see this long from being over. Polls are polls, but the only one that actually matters is the one on election day.
Hear, hear. Conservative Woman for a Better Future, Jennifer Nassour. Appreciate you, Jen. 10 minutes to the hour already. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio, and the talk line is 844-344-DANA, danaradio.com.
Head to danaradio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
My name is Sergio. This is The Dana Show. It's an honor that you join us on the program. And Dana, thank you, friend. Big hug and a kiss to you and Chris. Get some rest, Dana. Please, Dana, put down the damn phone. Go cook something, okay? Go binge watch something. Get off of Twitter, woman. Gee, wowas. Just disconnect a little bit. Rest your mind. Rest your mind. Gosh darn it. Hey, before I let you go for the weekend, please donate some life-saving plasma, friend. If you had COVID-19, if you were coronavirus positive, please. You got antibodies coursing through your veins. That, friend, is the only life-saving treatment, and I got some friends in the hospital fighting for their lives. Please, friend, wherever you are in this nation, contact your local hospital, blood donation group, donate your plasma. I think you can do that every 2 weeks. If you had it, please give it. Give your plasma. Please save the life of your neighbors somewhere in this country. Producer Steve was telling me that the NFL is going to start their training camp on time. I think he said it's next week. And did you see the headline on, of course, I know you did, you're information-minded, the Redskins? And they should have gone with something, you know, funny and cool, like potato skins, or maybe rednecks. You only have to replace a few words in the name. Rednecks or potato skins, right? But no, it's Washington. The team from Washington, and they're still going to work on a new name. And I think it needs to be Washington D.C. centric. I mean, go think. There's so many possibilities, right? Now, throw me your suggestions this week, and maybe we can talk about it on Monday. Lord willing, I'll be here on Monday, unless the world's coming to an end, and Dana needs to shepherd us towards the apocalypse on Monday. It's at Sergio Talk, at Sergio Talk on Parler. I'm going to emphasize Parler and Twitter. Now, I wrote down a few. I'm thinking, well, the Washington Politicos, the Consultants. If you've ever been near the museums, they got rabbit squirrels, right? Washington rabbit squirrels. The Swamp Rats, Spooks, right? The investigators and CIA and all that. Anyway, at Sergio Talk, Parler and Twitter. Facebook, Sergio Sanchez. Look for the cystic fibrosis window. Okay, Steve-O, Dane Stupidity, what you got?
All right, I'm very opinionated on chicken wings, and I don't like what Cuomo said here. So.
To be a bar, you had to have food available. Soups, sandwiches, etc. More than just hors d'oeuvres, chicken wings. You had to have...
Okay, just buy something. Support your local businesses. Just buy something.